When you said, "I do," did you and your husband stop having fun? That was Nancy Anderson's experience.
Ron was a great date before we were married, and then we got married and he quit dating me. And I quit flirting with him and making it fun. And we lost the spark. We lost the imagination and the creativity, and we just got busy with chores and lists of things to do. And we forgot to have fun.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, February 18th. All this week we've heard the story of Ron and Nancy Anderson. Their marriage was marked by conflict early on. Nancy turned to another man in the middle of all this conflict, and then God restored her marriage with Ron. If you missed any of the story, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss to explain why this is such an important topic.
Hardly a day passes but that we receive an email or a letter here at Revive Our Hearts from one or more women who are struggling in their marriage, men struggling in their marriage, wives leaving husbands, husbands leaving wives, adulterous situations taking place, you name it, we've heard it, and it's always heartbreaking. But one of the things that we want to do on Revive Our Hearts is give hope that God is a redeeming God, He can make all things new, but also to offer some practical wisdom and counsel from God's Word about how your marriage can become what God intended it to be. The testimony we've been hearing over the last several days is a testimony of a marriage that was, humanly speaking, beyond repair, and yet never beyond God's reach and His grace. So Nancy and Ron, together, thank you for being together. It's a miracle what God's done in your lives. And thanks for being with us on Revive Our Hearts to talk about how God can protect marriages. You're still working on your marriage. It's been 27 or so years now.
27 years, yes.
And the first 2 years were
chaos, anger, fighting all the time. It was dead. The marriage was dead. And the Lord brought it back from the ashes 25 years ago. And has blessed us beyond my wildest imaginations.
And dead to the point of, Nancy, you becoming involved in an adulterous relationship, something you've since repented of, God has forgiven you, but it almost killed what little life and potential there was in your marriage.
Yes, it was a relationship with a coworker, and it started gradually and grew with each choice that I made, and finally came to a point where I had left my husband, moved out of our home, rented an apartment, and was going to marry this other man. That was my plan, but God had different plans for me. And then I surrendered my will to His will, and our marriage began again with a new foundation of grace and mercy instead of anger. And that was 25 years ago. And so in the last 25 years, we've been talking to other couples. We teach at marriage seminars and retreats. And we found that our story is not uncommon. That's part of the reason I wrote the book, is avoiding the greener grass syndrome, so that someone hopefully could learn from our mistakes and see that watering your own lawn is the solution. Not climbing over the fence to someone else's lawn, but taking that energy and that commitment and watering your own marriage, loving your own husband, your own wife, and beginning like a garden. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you have to plow and plant and replant, and storms come and ruin the crop and you start over again. And that's a marriage. And it can be a wonderful oasis if you're willing to plant these hedges around it, and they're all spiritual, scriptural hedges, and they are a sense of guarding our hearts.
Now, the concept of hedges, if you think about it in terms of a garden, you're keeping certain things out and keeping certain things in. And those hedges require constant maintenance. You can't just put them up and let them go.
No, and they change, of course, when you have children or difficulties or financial troubles or you need to move or whatever the thing is that comes up next. You need to be willing to transplant and move and rearrange and learn from past mistakes.
Yeah, it is interesting. Things that might have bothered you 23 years ago aren't bothering you today, but there's other issues you're dealing with. So the relationship is constantly evolving, and you have to constantly be on guard. our theory is you want to always be fine-tuning your relationship. Never let your guard down for a moment. Never take the relationship for granted. Never get caught up in your emotions, because our emotions frequently can deceive us.
Speaking of emotions, one of the things that really got you in trouble, Nancy, in your marriage was that you followed your emotions. You followed your heart rather than putting your heart in the right place. And one of the things that restored your marriage was the willingness to take tough steps, to make tough decisions, to obey God, regardless of what your emotions were telling you.
Yes, and that was probably the most difficult part, is that when I broke off the relationship that I was having with this coworker, I still felt like I was, quote unquote, in love with him. In other words, my emotions, my connection was toward him and not my husband. And yet I chose to stay with my husband. And the feelings eventually followed as my behavior changed. And as I began to act in loving ways, the loving feelings followed. During my affair, I was following my feelings toward this other man because I was attracted to him.
And you were nurturing and cultivating those feelings.
I was. We were going back and forth. We were complimenting and flirting and doing all sorts of things to feed those emotions. The things that I was not doing with Ron, I wasn't complimenting him. I wasn't flirting with him. I was critical and controlling. And so I was pushing my husband away at the same time that I was drawing this other man to me. And, of course, it got me in a horrible mess that I had to get myself out of with the Lord's help, and that was by not following my emotions.
We had to learn that the Word of God was our value system. That's the premise we start from. And although our emotions may change as it relates to God's Word doesn't change.
Yeah.
Now, one day we may not feel like following God's Word, but that doesn't mean His Word has changed. Mm-hmm. The truth is the truth. And we had to discover that just because our emotions waffle back and forth doesn't mean we get to change God's Word.
Mm-hmm. So as you restored this marriage relationship that was so hopelessly messed up, overnight you got out of the affair, you broke it off, you quit your job, you went back to your husband, you sought forgiveness. I mean, this all happened pretty quickly, but then you had a pathway ahead of rebuilding that relationship. What are some of the things that both of you started doing in your marriage, choosing to do, actions that you took that began to restore your heart for each other?
Well, the first thing we did is we went to a Christian marriage counselor, and then we started seeking out resources through the Word of God and also materials like the Home Builder series. We studied that, and we had to find out, okay, what does a husband do? What is my role? What does that look like? And she had to find out what is the wife's role or the woman's role. So we had to learn some practical things. Probably the one thing that helped me the most is the verse in 1 Peter 3:7, where the Lord tells us, dwell with your wife in understanding. For years and years, every comedian on television says, oh, I can't understand my wife. And that's the proverbial joke in our culture. But the Lord tells us to dwell with our wives in understanding. So that means it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that became my personal mission, was to understand my wife. I learned that my wife is more sensitive than my buddy. And I learned that I can tease and make wisecracks at my friend's expense, my buddy's, and he's just going to come back and do the same thing. But when I do it to my wife, it breaks her down emotionally, spiritually. It destroys her. I learned that my wife, when she says stop tailgating, that it frightens her, that I should stop tailgating. If I love her, why would I want to frighten her? So I stopped tailgating. So there's practical things. And what I learned as a man, the more I understood about my wife and adapted and respected those differences that God put in her as a woman, the less of those little brush fire arguments we had that turned into World War III in 90 seconds that begin to push us away. And the more of those things we eliminated, the more the intimacy grew, the more the love grew in our relationship. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the most important things, was learning about each other. In the book, I call it educating, and studying each other as if we were a textbook. You will tell me what you need, but I need to ask you. I need to ask follow-up questions. Is this what you meant? And then, of course, rewarding each other when you get it right. and saying, I sure did appreciate that. When we got back together, please and thank you were not our normal vocabulary.
No.
Mm-hmm. Just being polite, actually, was kind of our starting point. And it was a good day if we said, please and thank you, and you look nice in that color, or thanks for putting gas in the car. I mean, that was a good day.
And mercy, when I think we offered each other mercy when we were trying to change and we slipped up. We didn't beat each other up over that because we both knew we were trying. I kind of describe it as we were two pendulums swinging back and forth, missing each other. But through working and studying God's word and putting God's principles into our marriage, eventually we were like two pendulums swinging together. But it took a period of time and hard work and commitment.
It took actually years because a lot of the habits that we had established were very difficult to break. But as we saw each other changing, then it gave us courage also to take that step out. Because before, we were just waiting for the other person to make a mistake so we could point it out.
Right.
But now we began this new cycle of I was trying to please him, he was trying to please me, and we got in the I'm a good wife because you're a good husband because I'm a good wife cycle. For me anyway, I realized how much his commitment to me meant to him, that he was willing to take me back after I had betrayed him, betrayed myself, betrayed my relationship with the Lord, and chosen to go outside of our marriage. So I came back with a new respect for him that I had not had before. And he came back with a new appreciation of me. Ron was a great date before we were married, and then we got married, and he quit dating me. And I quit flirting with him and making it fun. And we lost the spark. We lost the imagination and the creativity, and we just got busy with chores and lists of things to do. And we forgot to have fun. And that's one of the things that led me to go in search of greener grass, was that there was fun to be had out there, and I wasn't having it in my marriage. And now the difference is that by watering my own marriage and that by making it fresh and fun and planning surprises and making a date night and putting his needs above my own needs actually ends up meeting my needs, because then we have a healthy, happy, strong marriage.
And by dating, it could be just simply a walk around the block or going to out to a nice restaurant or going down to the park, just spending some time alone where you're talking and being emotionally intimate with each other.
Right. We've taken classes together. We've gone bowling together, all sorts of things. They don't have to be expensive. There's a surprise date where you call and just say, meet me on the corner of Main and Fifth Street, and I've got a surprise. And then you pick them up, you have a dinner, you have different things planned. But keeping that spark of spontaneity and that little bit of the unknown, the little mystery that's so exciting when you're dating, sometimes you lose that, especially when you're in a long-term marriage. You think you know everything about the other person. And it's good to have a few surprises in the positive sense of new things that you can build your relationship on.
And I think as husbands, we have to take the initiative in that. You know, we were the pursuers when we were trying to win our wife's hand, so to speak, and I think we still need to pursue them. They need to feel cherished. They need to feel that you still want to be with them. They still want that spark of romance in the relationship. And dating is one way to keep that to the forefront of your marriage.
And as you've been building your marriage, you shared with me in a conversation we had last night that you've also made a love list. Is that what you call it?
A love list. We decided, after learning this through one of the resources, is that we were going to make a list of the five specific, very specific things that she can do that make me feel loved. And she was going to make a list of very specific things that made her feel loved. And we switched lists, and I would carry that in my wallet. The number one thing on my wife's list that made her feel loved as a wife and a woman was, before we go to bed at night, pray for her.
Hmm.
I can do that now that I know that. I mean, it took me a while to get into the pattern, but it's something that I could do. Number two on her list was, typically when we went to an event, I was in the party or the event telling my first joke while she was still in the car unbuckling her seatbelt. So she said, what makes me feel loved is if you wait for me to get my makeup squared away, get my purse squared away, unbuckle my seatbelt, and we walk into the event together.
Seems like a little thing.
A little thing, but it spoke volumes of love to her. I can do that.
Well, his list, as many of you could probably guess, number one and the thing on the list that made Ron feel loved was physical intimacy. And I did not understand that. And I still don't fully understand it. I do believe that it's important to him. And one of the things we've learned is if it's important to your mate, then it must be important to you. And you must give it a priority. And so even though, like I said, I don't understand it, I do make every effort to meet his need. And because I am willing to do that, and because I not only willing, but look forward to meeting that need of his, the transformation has been amazing because I end up getting ultimately what I want, which is the needs on my list met.
And we would hold each other accountable. There might be a time where I'm kind of slacking off on her list, but yet I want my list met. And she would gently remind me, well, you know, it's been about 4 days since you prayed for me. And I would have to say, okay, let me regroup. Because there is a pattern that we take when we're trying to change our behavior. It does not happen overnight. It takes you a long time to develop bad patterns. And it takes a long time to develop good patterns. And you have to give each other mercy during this period where you're trying to change your behavior. Wouldn't you agree, Nancy?
Yes. And a really important point is that the Bible gives us a roadmap of how a wife is to behave, and it isn't predicated upon the husband's behavior. We are called to do certain things as godly women, and his response does not determine what our behavior should be. And so I would just encourage anyone who's in that situation to continue doing what the Lord has called you to do, regardless of the response or non-response from your husband. Because as he sees you change, as he sees you giving, maybe he won't believe it at first, but if you're consistent and if you're praying for him and if your heart is tender toward him and if you know his needs, ask him what his needs are and meet those needs for him, then he will begin, even slowly, to meet your needs.
And, you know, it takes faith. Nancy, as I think back about your story, when you first came back home, you broke off your affair, you quit your job, you repented, you confessed your sin, you came back to Ron. He wasn't a loving, gracious, godly husband at that point, and you didn't know if he would ever change.
No.
But you said, I'm willing to obey God and do the right thing. And then both of you said, we're willing to start following God's roadmap, regardless of, as you say, Nancy, the response or non-response of my mate. I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
I knew what I was told to do, and I knew what I had to do to have a clear conscience before God. And I knew that if I was continuing in sin on purpose by disrespecting my husband, that it would stand in the way of my relationship with the Lord.
And certainly kill whatever chances you might have of
yes.
that marriage being restored.
Yes, the only hope we had was to behave in a way that pleased God.
And we had to really come to learn and believe in our hearts that we had to make the Lord the center of the relationship. And that was hard in the beginning, but the more we studied the Word, the more we realized that that really was the foundation we had to build from.
One of the verses that was really important to me was Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." And that's where I got in the most trouble, was by not guarding my heart. The world tells us, oh, follow your heart. It will lead you to wonderful places. Well, it's not true, because the Bible tells us that our hearts are exceedingly wicked. Who can know them? So if we follow our emotions, if we follow our flesh will lead us down a path of destruction. And so once I began to guard my heart from outside invaders and from internal discontent, the little rumblings that I had, the complaining spirit, the critical spirit, I asked the Lord to literally install a filter between my mouth and my brain, because my first instinct was to correct my husband, especially about insignificant things. I wanted to be his mother. I wanted to make him wrong and me right. I wanted to correct him and make him wrong. And that was what got me in trouble in the first place. So I had to stop myself. And it is an act of will to just not say it. And I found that the more I stopped myself, the more he began to open up to me. And then our lines of communication were true and real.
Well, the days of her giving me a 10,000-word essay on the fact that I forgot to fill up the gas tank were over. That was an obvious change.
That was a filter on the lips.
That was the filter.
Because the more I criticized and complained, he would want me to stop. And he would say, okay, okay, I got it. But I wouldn't stop. And so then I would keep pushing him. And then that's when he got really angry. That's when he would use profanity because he wanted me to just stop. So once I stopped myself, then it didn't escalate. And then we learned that, yes, we can communicate our disappointments, but it doesn't have to be a war.
Right. And we eliminated those wars. And we still have days where we might get on each other's nerves, but we learned how to resolve it in a positive way.
We have bad hours now, whereas we used to have bad weeks.
And that is the grace of God. And I see so much evidence of His grace, His restoring, redeeming power in your lives and your marriage. Thank you so much for being open and honest about your story. I praise the Lord for what He has done in your lives. And I've now had the chance to get to know you. And this is the real thing. This is the power of God. This is something only God could do. Nancy, thank you for writing this book. It's so practical, Avoiding the Greener Grass Syndrome. And I know it's going to be helpful to many of our listeners, even if their marriage isn't in disaster. Don't wait till your marriage is in a disaster before you start putting these hedges in it.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with Ron and Nancy Anderson, giving hope to every married couple. They'll be right back. But I'll step in and tell you how to get the book Nancy was just telling you about. Nancy Anderson wrote Avoiding the Greener Grass Syndrome, based on her painful experiences. She'll show you how to guard your heart against adultery and move toward your husband. We want to put this book in your hands, so we'll send it to you when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. You'll also get a very helpful booklet from Nancy Lee DeMoss called Hedges. The booklet will help you think through small decisions that may lead to big consequences. Protect your marriage and watch it grow. Get the book and booklet by donating at reviveourhearts.com. That's reviveourhearts.com. Or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, this week we've been hearing how small things matter. Small choices to be unfaithful and small choices to love. Holly Eliff has seen this.
And I don't think it's necessarily the big, huge crisis moments in most marriages as much as it is lots of days of inattention to the things that matter.
Holly will talk very practically tomorrow. I hope you can be here. Now, let's get back to Nancy Lee DeMoss talking with Ron and Nancy Anderson.
Ron, I wonder if you'd be so kind. We don't get very often to have men on the broadcast, and it's been a blessing to have you here with Nancy. But if you would just pray for our listeners, especially for women, wives who are listening. Nancy loves it when you pray for her, and we'd be blessed if you would pray for us and for the marriages represented in particular, that God would make them marriages that really glorify Him.
That would be my pleasure. And first of all, I'd like to tell my lovely wife, Nancy, I really love you.
Mm, thank you, honey. I love you too.
Thank you, babe. Mm. Lord, we just come to you. We just bow our hearts to you. Lord, I just praise you for where our marriage is today, the gift that you've given me of this wonderful wife and this wonderful life with her, Lord. And I just give all the glory to you. I thank you for my in-laws and the role that they played in healing our marriage. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching us that we need to make you the center of our relationship and build from there. And I just thank you, Lord, for this ministry, and I just pray for all the couples out there that might be listening today, Lord, that maybe we've given them just a little bit of hope to take that step in looking towards you, Lord. Mm. And we just thank you for being there when we need your help, Lord, and I just praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.